Good afternoon. Welcome to Senate Natural Resources. Madam Secretary, would you kindly take the roll call?
Senator Brown?
Here.
Senator Curdy?
Here.
Senator Flowers?
Here.
Senator Lang?
Here.
Senator Gillespie?
Here.
Senator Lynch?
Here.
Senator Morgeot?
Here.
Senator Sayles?
Here.
Senator Small?
Here.
Senator Usher?
Here.
Senator Wellborn?
Here. Thank you, Jody. We're going to take some executive action first. If you would pull Senate Bill 43, Senator Curdy's proposal out of your folders. Give you just a second to do that. And Vice Chair Morgeot, would you move that bill, please?
Mr. Chairman, I move a due pass on Senate Bill 43.
Thank you. Discussion on Senate Bill 43, are there amendments being offered? Senator Curdy, looks like there's an amendment. Would you, it's been passed around.
Okay.
Do you need a copy?
No, I've got a copy.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment SB 0043.001.001. Do pass.
Thank you. The bill has introduced and introduced with amendments. Let's, if we would open discussion to the amendments, please. Senator Curdy?
So what this amendment does, as we discussed the other day, is it basically says that timber sales in excess of 500,000 board feet must be advertised in the paper of the county in which the timber is situated or on the DNRC website. Pretty simple.
All right. Discussion on that amendment. Members. Senator Usher.
I don't know. That was quick. I didn't even raise my hand. I guess, I mean, I don't read the paper anymore. I don't know how many people do, but how much money are we really saving is the question, Mr. Chair.
So, speak to Mr. Chair, Senator Usher, so initially the provision was taken out, but again, a lot of these local newspapers are well read by folks in the communities, and it's the department figured out it'd be a good public relations thing if, and for those who didn't get a major newspaper or regional newspaper, to have it published in the local newspaper.
Follow up. So, Mr. Chair, Senator Curdy, I guess then should it say and instead of or? Because you just indicated that you do want it and the department does want it in the newspaper, and this says or.
So, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Senator Usher. So, I'm sorry, I misspoke. So, the intent was to leave it up to the department to put it in the local newspaper. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it must, but it's up to the department's discretion.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Further discussion? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also, I was trying to find it in my emails here, which is sometimes impossible in this job to find an email again, but they had contacted me as well about some of the issues I had and how they were going to notice people, and you know, they said they were going to take a look also at, you know, publishing in the papers, you know, not only just about the sales, but hey, how this transition might work, and kind of focusing on some of those heavy timber areas, counties with a lot of timber in them and stuff, and be sure that they got that information out in the paper as well as where to look for these sales and stuff to educate the public. And I'm going to take them at that word and support the amendment and the bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Brown. Senator Marshall?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to support the bill, too. I think this is a good amendment, and I'm glad Senator Curdy brought this forward. I still read the paper, so I'm glad that there's still the option to do this.
All right, we are on the amendment. Senator Lang.
Mr. Chairman, question for the sponsor of the amendment.
Senator Curdy.
Mr. Chair, Senator Lang.
Mr. Chair, Senator Curdy, does Phyllis County have 5,000 board feet of trees in our county to be for sale or not? Or do I need to worry about this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lang, unless you count maybe wheat stalks.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Friday.
Question.
The question on the amendment's been called. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? All right. We need to move the bill as amended now, right? All right. We're back to the bill. Okay, so discussion on the bill itself. Any discussion as amended?
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 43 as amended.
Thank you. Discussion on the bill as amended, Senate Bill 43.
Question.
The question has been called. All in favor of Senate Bill 43 as amended, please signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Are there any proxies? Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, Ryan's here, so.
Sounds good. Well, I guess we've got a full house.
Sorry, I mean, Senator Lynch, guy, Mr. Chairman.
Somebody the corner seat's full today.
Did somebody mark this day on the calendar?
Please, this day in history. All right. Senate Bill 42, Senator Heinbaugh's bill, if you'll pull that from your folder. Yes, please.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 42.1. A do pass.
Hard.
I believe there are amendments.
Amendments are coming around. Yeah, you can do that. As these amendments are coming around, we better move the amendment, though.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 42.001.001 do pass.
Thank you. Discussion on the amendments, or would you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you'll look on page 2, if you remember during the testimony. We brought up and worked with the department on updating the online 3 ditch to a more used water conveyance facility language, canal ditch, flume, aqueduct, pipe. And then also you'll see water conveyance for irrigation purposes on page 4. And then throughout when there was talk of modifying the date, they've put in on line 8, existing private access roads, and strike the construction on state lands prior to October 1, 1997. And then I believe throughout the document you'll find page 3, the reference to October 1, 1997 is also stricken. And that would be both supported by the department and the sponsor, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Vice Chair Sales. Discussion on the amendment. The question's been called. On the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Will you move the bill as amended, please?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 42.001.002 one, as amended once, for due pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Sayles. Discussion on Senate Bill 42 as amended. And the question's been called for. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, thank you. And if you will pull Senate Bill number 72 from your folders.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 72.1, due pass.
Thank you. That's Senator Fitzpatrick's bill. Senate Bill 72 has been moved with a due pass motion. And are there amendments?
There are, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move SB 0072.001.001, due pass. Amendments to 72.
Thank you. Senator Sayles.
Thank you.
Whatever your pleasure is, if you want to walk us through those, or if you want staff to, or if you guys want to tandem up on them, I'll just step back and let you guys do what makes
Okay, I'll start. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think it will be a tandem effort, but definitely what we tried to do here, after having both the department and stakeholders give good input on some amendments that were needed, and from the hearing, we've listed them out for you today. Staff just passed around, Jason passed around, sort of the general comments and then the sections and the pages of where those amendments take place in the bill itself. And again, right, having the gray bill does make it a little easier to track, but I do believe that this document is going to help us go through it. So if it's okay, Mr. Chair, I think in my perception, the easiest way to do this will be in sections, as you see on the sheet that Jason passed out regarding general cleanup. Look at those and then move section down as appointments and just further throughout the document. So if that's okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the first section there, the general cleanup, you're going to see is again, basically no policy or position changes were made. They're mostly grammar and sentence structures that were changed. That does meet the intention of the working group. This bill, as it says in there, did come in fairly late because that working group worked up to the witching hour, and therefore getting it into legislative services was at last, for drafting, and then trying to get it into the department for drafting. So some of these sections were brought out during both the hearing and looking at the bill. So going down, if you want latitude of the committee, I think in the chair, we can, and the reason for this was to help you guys look at this ahead of time if you want to just look at the questions, or I can go through them page or section by section. So whatever you desire.
I would, does the committee have a preference? Senator Usher?
Mr. Chair, I'm not quite sure how far you want to go on the preference thing, but I guess my preference is to let him go through this, but I would think we should have over the weekend being this so significantly before we actually do a vote, so we can digest this and get consult from our trusted friends that know this better than us.
Well, Senator Usher, I think we're primed to move forward on this, and I'll tell you why. I mean, there's been a lot of work, and everybody that had concerns the other day has been approached and has had every opportunity to put their fingerprints on it. In most cases, that has been has been done. But I mean, I don't see any real reason. I mean, I would prefer to just keep these bills moving. So I mean, we'll take all the time we need going through them. So you're comfortable or not, but I think we need to just keep moving. Senator, go ahead if you want to.
Okay. So just in reference, page 6, line 20, page 7, again, they're listed out for you, line 13 through 15. If you have questions, stop and I can explain. Page 12, lines 18 through 21, and again, 16 through 27, same section, section 16. Pages 26, lines 18 through 25. Moving into section 39, page 30, lines 12 to 21. Moving into the water code 85, right? And then page 31, section 42, lines 14, 15, and 21, 22. And then the last general cleanup is page 35, lines 20, 21. I'll give you a minute, and between Jason and I, we'll answer questions.
Questions or discussion?
Just while you're reading section 42 and 50, those maintain, right, that clerk of district court and then also allows the water court administrator to conduct those duties. Basically what that's doing on that fiscal note is not increasing, but allowing what's existing if directed that way. Comfortable to move on? Mr. Chair?
It looks like we are.
Okay, now we'll move into that next section, cleanup on appointments, confirmation, and retention. Again, no policy or position change, but these amendments clean up the references that these sections were addressing and the concerns that we also heard from the various appointments. And again, between Jason and I, but we'll give some time. Oh, Jason?
Sure. I would just point out, Mr. Chair, Senator Sayles, that the, you know, the majority of those changes are in Section 12 in the bill, and you can find that on page 10. So pretty much that whole chunk.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Purdy.
So I do have a question, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. So on page 10, lines, let's see. Okay. So lines 17 through 21, or 16 through 21. So why did you go with a statewide retention election? Because in time, my question is, because in time, if we have, if we're going to pursue this basin or district process that we are proposing, you know, just give me your rationale why you went with a statewide vote, because I'm thinking maybe more of a regional election. Yep. So just tell me.
Okay, Mr. Chair, Senator Curdy. So remember that this is prior to the issuance of the final decrees. And so once we move into, and you're exactly right, once we move into and get to that point that you're talking after the finals, then that's when we move it into the division judges, which is down in Section 10. I'm sorry. Yeah, Section 12, line 22-28.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't read far enough.
No. And that's that's exactly right. And with that, I also want to point out that that's another one of the amendments is that was not in the original, was the word after. So in the original presented bill, we amend after to make that clear. So that's a good point.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess you can help me out here maybe a little bit. Section 12, we're talking about, you know, one of the main concerns that I've been hearing realistically for, I guess you could say, years now is the fact that we are not electing these judges, and we will now have a vote on retention but not election. And so I think that's going to be a continued concern as we move on. If this indeed passes out of this committee, of the, you know, because from my experience, a judge being voted to be retained, it's not very often that you don't retain one of them. I don't know how often that really does happen, where they're actually voted out. But I think the concern is, from the people that I've talked to about it, was that they had the ability to vote them in, so you would have a real election of them and not just an appointment by whatever party happens to be in the governor's house. So, I see that as something, I believe this is something we're going to wind up seeing coming back with House amendments if we pass it on as well, but... that's just a concern, and maybe you can answer part of that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Brown. So as you pointed out, right, and you're completely right, is in the bill, we definitely do have the appointment made by the governor and then the Senate confirmation. So yes, when getting to that point to be able to be elected, that will be the process. So as you did say, the retention part is still an election, so there is the election, but I think I understand your concerns are that people don't participate or get too excited about retaining somebody without having what you're calling maybe the head-to-head type election. Is that...
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I think that's the concern. They don't have the ability to vote that person into office. Only the ability to vote them out.
Okay, and Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Bryan. I would just say that working with the stakeholders that came in and readdressed and agreed to the language to make sure that those candidates were in the retention is what we were hearing, and they felt comfortable with the appointment by the Senate and the process, right, from the governor to the Senate. And then they wanted the ability to vote them out and then have that reappointment and continue down that process. There was discussion, you're right, but the groups came together, and this was from those interest groups that we heard from.
Well, yeah, fair enough. Like I say, I think this is one of those issues that we will continue to hear about, but yep. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Further discussion? Move to the next section.
Okay. Now we'll move into, thank you, Mr. Chair, sections 32, 33, and 34. Okay, these sections are then, again, that provisional permit and changes moving then into certificate water rights, meaning that people have a confirmed property right. All right, so this petition process, I think it's important for us to understand, is not new, that it's already in existing language and in our statutes today, which impresses me, right, back in the 70s when they put this in place, and when that snapshot that we heard in time took place, the state needed to be able to keep moving on water and allow use of water. So that's why the provisional structure was set up and expressed that when the day comes for those final decrees, that they have to be looked at, which not only protects those with the decrees, but it also protects the value of that provisional right once moved forward through this process. So with that being said, the petition process is different than what we use or understand today in the objection process of a change or a new permit. So a petition can be, and then as we move into section 32, so I just wanted to give you that background as to understanding the difference between the objection process and the petition process. So page 23, 24, and 25, sections 32, 33, and 34. And again, questions between Jason and I. Thank you, Ms. Chair. And just maybe to help you when you're reading through this in section 33 and 32 to understand that one is to object to your own right, such as if you had maybe a place of use that wasn't corrected, and you're going to be able to then move into this process to correct and shore up your place of use language. And then also, so this would be myself trying to correct what maybe came forward but didn't reflect in the final decree. I would have that opportunity to petition my own right. Section 32 would be then from somebody that has within that 120-day period, they can take that external petition and go through that process. We added standing. If you remember, standing was a very important piece that we wanted to be addressed. So that's where you get the definition that we have now.
Question.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, question for Senator Sayles. Senator Sayles, just a quick question. I'm kind of going back and forth, and when I look at the fiscal note on this, it shows that there's 49 cases and, you know, an immaterial fraction. Would that standing, I guess, procedurally, if we put this standing in, does that materially change the 49, or are we thinking that that's still a pretty safe bet, I guess? Look in a crystal ball and let me know. Mr. Chair.
And if I could, Mr. Chair, and Senator Lynch, you know, that's a great question. I don't know of those 49 what and how that would fit, but as we tighten this, just by my reasoning, by limiting and tightening the restrictions of who could, I would assume that that would be less of a number than more of a number.
Thank you.
Further questions, discussion?
Okay, moving on, Mr. Chair.
Moving on.
All right, now we're into the District Court ability to supervise water commissioner. Mr. Chair, we had quite a bit of discussion about the concerns, right, from many different, but not just the Teton water users, but there was a decent showing that they wanted the ability, right, to have their district court judge supervise the water commissioners. And for those members that were in WPIC over the last four WPICs, this was a very big concern of those water users throughout those sessions. So it was great that they came forward, and then we've amended page 12, section 14, lines 2 and 3 there. Okay, so that takes care, right, of, just so you guys know, that we're working with the multiple jurisdiction, right, districts, so. And I will say that Senator Gillespie had a lot to work to help us get that amendment in. Moving into enforcement.
Senator Lang,
just thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Mr. Senator Sales, please. On page 12, line 2, we seek the appointment of the water commissioner, and why have we stricken that would act wholly within a single judicial district?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Senator Lang, could you one more time?
Page 12, line 2. A, seeks the appointment of the water commissioner. We're leaving that as is. We've stricken that would act wholly within a single judicial district. Why are we striking that? What's the purpose of that?
Okay. So then that amendment removes the requirements to be in one judicial district to petition that. So this is important for the users that have that split district, right? So that takes care of that problem of the folks that
both sides of the river?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
If there's water in that river.
All right, thank you.
All right. Okay.
Now we'll move into enforcement.
Yes, please.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, on the enforcement side, these amendments then again came from the group that we're working on 15 and 18, the proactive enforcement, right, instead of more of a reactive, and the may and shall that was in there. So this reflects the need and amends that back to, I think, to the concerns of that group. So page 12 and 15, sections 15 and 18. And in 212, line 7 and 10, it basically there clarifies that the water court maintains the jurisdictional primacy in not requiring that proactive enforcement, removing all of the shalls. And then moving down to line 15, it does clarify that the court maintains, again, that same primacy. And then if I could, Chair, maybe ask Jason if I hit what or missed any.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would only add that those last two sections that you're talking about, it was stronger language, shall enforce. And in Montana, your water rights are enforced when you have a water commissioner on a stretch of water, and that's those 49 enforcement projects. So as I view this language, it kind of softens they have jurisdiction, but I think the intent is just because you have a final decree doesn't mean you're enforcing every water right out there, right out of the gate. So, because there's other processes that you go through to make that happen.
So Mr. Chair, that if we still have people reading or.
And this might just be a stupid legal question for somebody much smarter than I. So water commissioners have the authority of arrest, correct? So they can arrest somebody. Is that correct? Don't they have that power?
I don't think so.
I could look up.
I believe they do.
The court, and if I could, Mr. Chair, and Senator Brown, I would agree with you, but I've never actually have seen one have to use that because of the on-the-ground work.
So my legal question is, if they choose to arrest somebody, I guess the district court would then have the authority over that. So isn't that imperative that we, since we do have that district court language in there, does that help the situation out? If they were under total supervision of the water court, I don't know that the water court has the ability to try those cases that perhaps when they make an arrest.
As I understand it, Ms. Chair, it would have to go through the court.
But would the water court have that authority?
It would be in the district court.
Right. So that's where I say it. I believe it's imperative that we have that transfer to the district court language in there. So just a out-of-the-blue thought that came to my mind.
And I may want to add, if I could, Mr. Chair. And I'd have to look up the sections, but I know from working with the group, there is language that gives the water court the same exercise as, right, judging as powers as a district court. So it may be that I sort of misspoke and that the water court then through that statute that's in here would have the ability to enforce as well.
Okay, it was just a thought that came into my head out of the blue and wanted to be sure that we were covered on that case.
I believe we are, and if that is different, I'll let you know.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Further discussion? On the amendments. Senator Usher.
Don't give me much time, Mr. Chair, to get my thoughts together.
Oh, no, I thought we can come back to you if you're not
Yeah, let me try and absorb something.
I'll call for the question.
Senator Brown, the question's been called on the amendments. Senator Sayles, would you read the number of that amendment again?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Question's been called on SB 0072.001.001.
Thank you. Do a roll call on the amendment, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Brown?
Yes.
Senator Curdy?
Yes.
Senator Flowers?
Yes.
Senator Gillespie?
Yes.
Senator Lang?
Yes.
Senator Lynch?
Yes.
Senator Morgeau?
Yes.
Senator Sayles?
Yes.
Senator Small? By...
Senator Small, yes, by proxy.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Sorry.
Senator Usher?
No.
Senator Wellborn?
Yes.
Ten yeas and one no.
Motion passes. Thank you, Madam Secretary. All right. You move the bill as amended, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move SB 72.1 as amended once, do pass.
Discussion on the bill as amended. Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm going to be a reluctant no on this, and I think, I appreciate the work of everyone. I think we're moving a lot of parts and pieces here in an amendment, and so... The one thing I've learned is that I don't know a lot about water, and so I'm probably comfortable enough to vote no on this, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? Senator Usher.
Mr. Chair, I too think I'm going to be a reluctant no. As I said earlier, with such a big amendment, you know, I'm not big on water knowledge. I should be better, but I would rather sit and read this a couple times over the weekend for me to figure out what I don't know and what I need more information about. So that's why I didn't have good questions to ask on such short notice. But I also do agree with Senator Brown in his questioning of the uncontested retention election. I'm not quite sure I like that. And I'm sure if we held off till Monday or Tuesday, I would have probably a list of questions, but we'll see.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to, one, I'd like to comment on Senator Brown's ask on the powers. And at page 9, line 22, it is given those to that water court in 372013. I'm going to be a strong proponent. Working with and being part of that working group in the department and listening to the public over all their comments, wanting this to move forward and the need for it today, not just for our water users of this today present, but looking down into the future of the next 2 to 3 to future generations. So I truly believe that this this piece of legislation that's in front of you is going to give the state the ability to take care of our users, take care of the resource, and do it in a way that, that alleviates as much grief going down the road forward.
Further discussion? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Somebody's forgot to turn their phone off, apparently, huh? You know, this is a difficult thing for me, because, you know, I guess I've kind of always believed that the water court needs to stay around, but I've always believed that the one thing we needed to do is make sure that we had it right. You know, and I believe this is a huge step forward, and you know, we've talked about it and how we get there in WPIC for all the time that I was in there, and didn't make a lot of progress on it the first or the three interims that I served on WPIC. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit and wasn't sure how to do it, and then we've made a monumental jump forward. But I believe there's still time. I believe there's time that you know, if we come back here, we give the stakeholders still some more time to work on this. And I would say mostly the opposition, the people that are in favor of it are in favor of it. But mostly the opposition to either work through their details and you know, with the amendments that we've placed on it, have here, I think it's made some great progress still. It's taken another step forward into a final complete package that I think everybody can really live with. And by the time we get back here next session, the Water Court will still be around, and they will still be doing their work. So at this point, I'm going to be a no.
Further discussion? Go ahead. Question's been called. Madam Secretary.
Senator Brown.
No.
Senator Curdy.
Yes.
Senator Flowers.
Yes.
Senator Gillespie.
Yes.
Senator Lang?
No.
Senator Lynch?
No.
Senator Mergeau?
No.
Senator Sales?
Yes.
Senator Usher?
No.
Senator Wellborn?
Yes.
Senator Small by proxy.
Ah, yep. Thank you.
Senator, yeah. Proxy, Senator Small, yes, by
thank
proxy.
Thank you, Senator Sales. One, two, three. Six yes, five no. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Motion carries. All righty, thank you. We're a little bit late to get started on our hearings. I'm going to turn the gavel over to the Vice Chair and get ready to introduce a bill. Thanks for your attention and hard work, committee, and get going with the rest of our afternoon and get out of here.
We'll give the sponsor a quick minute. Okay, now moving into Senate Bill 17. Senator Welborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it's my pleasure to be before this committee this afternoon. Senate Bill 17 is a product of the Stream Gauge Oversight Work Group, which was created by the 19 legislature, and it was aimed to bring a diverse group of gauge stakeholders together to coordinate on issues around stream gauging in Montana, primarily funding. That group was required to provide a written report to WPIC, which they completed this interim, and the group is set to sunset in 2023. Stream gauges, number one, are critical to the device water stakeholders and management of water's resources. They are used to adjudicate and administer for water decrees. They're to support emergency and disaster planning in flooding and droughts, and by the agricultural producers and irrigators. They support our recreation industry and for conservation planning. One of the most important outcomes of the working group in the last 4 years was the creation of a notification plan for potential changes or closures of these gauges. Because of increasing cost and flat funding sources that we've been faced with, the potential of actual closures of multiple gauges in the last 5 years, many times state and private funding sources have, and I want to delineate, have been able to backfill the funding to keep these gauges open and preserve decades of data sets. But advance notification is the key to cobbling that funding together. Senate Bill 17 ensures that the notification plan that was built by the group continues to be implemented into the future by the Governor's Drought and Water Supply Advisory Committee. This is critical for these stakeholders. Most of the work, like the writing, the complex reports, which you should check out to find more on stream gauges, it's actually more interesting than you might think, ensures that only the most critical functions and work that is developed by the group continues into the future by assigning those duties to an existing group, the Governor's Drought and Water Supply Advisory Committee. So, in other words, that framework already exists. This is just asking for a provision in statute to allow to move on in that manner. So, thank you. I will sit down and watch the debate go on. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you, Chair. All right. Proponents, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Clayton Elliott, ELLIOTT, representing Montana Trout Unlimited. I will be brief today. Particularly those of you on the Water Policy Interim Committee have heard at length about stream gauges, and today is not really the value of stream gauges is not really what we're here to debate. It is a very simple bill. The work that was done by the Stream Gauge Oversight Work Group, many of you have been involved. Great work. I would second the sponsor's suggestion to check out the report that they put together in collaboration with stakeholders like Trout Unlimited, watershed groups, agricultural producers, et cetera, on the value of those. Today, we're just asking for one component of that work to make sure that it has a home to move forward and live on. That's that notification plan. There are many groups out there, us included, who have jumped in and helped save some of these gauges that are at risk of going under, primarily because, as we all experience, inflation's going, you know, putting upward pressure on the cost of doing every business, including run and stream gauges, and the federal funding particularly is staying flat. More on funding in a different part of the discussion during this legislature, but today it's just about that notification plan. We can't cobble that funding together unless we have an advance notice. More than, you know, at times it's been down into the days that USGS has told us the gauge is going to go under and asked those of us who are user groups to cobble together the funding. So this advance notification is really important. We didn't want to put this in a whole new committee and have a whole additional layer of government. This fits easily within the Governor's Drought and Water Supply Advisory Committee. So I think this makes sense. The users, the folks who are on the ground need this notification if we're going to see a gauge go down, whether it be the Blackfoot. That's one that was on the Chopping Block Highlight Reservoir, Highlight Creek in Bozeman. Another one, I can go down. We could spend 45 minutes going through the list of ones that we've saved and put the funding together, but we need advance notice. So this bill helps make sure that that lives on, and we live to fight another day on the stream gauge conversation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Elliott. Further proponents, welcome.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name, for the record, my name is Paul Azevedo. That's A-Z-E-V as in Victor, E-D-O. I'm the Bureau Chief of the Water Management Bureau and DNRC. I also served as co-chair of that Stream Gauge Oversight Work Group. DNRC is in support of this bill, and I will be available for questions from the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Azevedo. Welcome.
Mr. Vice Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Krista Lee Evans, and I'm here today on behalf of the Senior Water Rights Coalition, as well as AGI, which is the Association of Gallatin Agricultural Irrigators, and Montana Farm Bureau Federation is unable to be here today and asked me to express their support as well. I'll be quick. The notification process is really important to us as water users so that we can work with other stakeholders to keep these stream gauges online. A lot of our water management decisions where these gauges are located are based on the data and the information that comes from the gauges, and we think it's important to maintain this early notice, and it's important to have someone in charge, and they're doing a good job, so I say we keep it with them. Thank you.
Thank you. Next proponent.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Derf Johnson, D-E-R-F-J-O-H-N-S-O-N. I'm here with the Montana Environmental Information Center. And all the previous proponents have outlined exactly why this bill should be supported. We believe more data is important for making good decisions. So we would ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Welcome.
Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Eileen Rice, that's spelled R-Y-C-E. I'm the Fisheries Division Administrator with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. I'm here in support of Senate Bill 17. FWP sees huge value to the stream gauge network, both for our publics and also to aid in our management of the natural resources. With that, FWP recommends a due pass on Senate Bill 17. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mike Murphy, representing the Montana Water Resources Association, and we also stand in support of Senate Bill 17. The information and data provided through these stream gauges are certainly very important, not only to irrigated agriculture, but to all water users throughout Montana. And again, with that, Mr. Vice Chair, we stand in support of Senate Bill 17.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Any other proponents in the room? Okay, seeing none. How about online? Heather?
There are none online, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, opponents. Any opponents in the room? Sponsor, I thought you were going to stand up. You had me worried. Opponents in the room, seeing none. Online, Heather?
No, Mr. Chair. No.
Thank you. Informational witnesses. Any informational witnesses online or in the room? Heather?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All right, questions from the committee. Senator Curdy.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I wish I could get this into a question, but I just want to make a point. You know, during I represent an area in Missoula that is continually under the gun for flooding, and that is the Orchard Homes, Tower Street, Kierwald area. We have regularly upwards of 30 to 40 homes that are can be inundated by water. And in the 2018 floods, we had two critical gauge sites that were down, and they hadn't been funded as a result of our special session in 2017. And that was a gauge at Deer Lodge and a gauge on the North Fork of the Blackfoot. And so during public meeting, I asked our National Weather Service meteorologist, said, what can I do to help you? And he said, get those two gauges up, because that gives us a good indication of what we're going to see in terms of water volume coming through and down the Clark Fork River. So, you know, I think this is really important to mention this at this point, because those gauges and their placement is really, really critical. So I could say a question. You think that's right, Mr. Murphy? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for finally turning that into a question. Committee members? Other questions? Yes. Thank you, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess a question for the sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, Senator, you know, I believe maybe, you know, and I don't recall exactly, but I think it may have been a bill that I carried that actually got some of the money into this program. It was either in my first or second session. Are you actually suggesting that we do something with the information that we're gathering?
Well, we gotta have
that's kind of a trick question, I guess.
Well, I mean, I guess more to the point that we've got to have these before we can do anything with the information to begin with. I mean, if I may tell you a little story in my district. There's been a collaborative that over years and years and years on the Arctic grayling, and the local watershed group in the Upper Big Hole has the landowners up there have partnered to keep that species off of the endangered species list, which is a monumental task in the times we live in. And their stream gauges along there that even, you know, not in the drought of 2021, if it wouldn't have been for those gauges keeping track of, you know, a very small amount of water, it could have triggered some problems. And so they, you know, so those ranchers could voluntarily leave enough water in the creeks to keep that to keep the fish swimming, to keep it covered. So, I mean, I don't know if that answers your question, but I think we're in agreement on the spirit of stream gauges. We've worked on this topic for a long time together, Senator Brown.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Senator, I just wanted to throw you a softball and see if you could hit it.
I don't know. 404 feet? Question mark.
Committee, other questions? Was that a no or a yes, Senator Usher? Shaking your head. No question.
Well, quick question for the sponsor, Mr. Chair.
Senator Welborn.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Welborn, I know that you don't make the determination, but I'm just curious, why is there not a fiscal note on this?
This is just setting up the policy for the framework that so the governor's task force can create a notification plan.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Seeing none, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, and I'm just glad to see that my movement is fast enough to trigger your sense that somebody might be standing up to oppose one of my bills. I didn't think I was moving that fast today, Mr. Chairman. But anyway, thanks for a great hearing. I would ask for a due pass, and appreciate your time this afternoon.
Okay, thank you, and this closes Senate Bill 17. Let the chair come back.
Committee?
It's been asked if we are comfortable doing executive on the previous bill we just heard, Senate Bill 17. Senator Usher.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 17 do pass.
It's been moved Senate Bill 17 does pass. For a do pass, I guess I would ask the chair if you'd like to take over, or if you want to move into, do we have to move into executive, or have we that ability?
Question.
There you go. Question's been called. Secretary, would you take the, we'll just do a voice. All those in favor of Senate Bill 17, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Senate Bill 17. Thank you. This concludes House Natural Resources.